Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Well, they're off a ton of time. But the coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
What I would have liked to see directly after that football game is Matt Eberflus comes to the podium and say, that's on me. My guys were not ready in that situation. That's on me as the head coach. I have to own this one. You want to have the head coach be the most important man in that building.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
Running left. And a big gain on first down. He picked up another first down, but the ball came out. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
You see the pressure on the outside by Matt Bowen.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it. Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Matt Bowen doesn't do what Matt Bowen does. That would have been a touchdown.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen is in charge of the defensive backs, former NFL player.
And that will be the final play. IC Catholic, for the sixth time, comes to the state championship game, and for the sixth time, they win it.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love the opportunity to talk ball with Matt Bowen. He's great, and he joins us now on the Spiegel and Holmes show as the Bears get ready to play a team in a franchise that he is very familiar with, the Packers. So, Matt, I know you've told a lot of the stories of your time with the Packers, a ton on these airwaves, but for you, as a guy that grew up a Bears fan and then played for the Packers, what's this like, the Bears-Packers week?
Traitor. You're a traitor, Bowen.
From the Packers' perspective.
It means a lot. It meant a lot back then, too. Obviously, much different team, different coaches. Brett Favre was our quarterback. But I always felt in that game, compared to playing, let's say, a crossover game in the AFC East, for example, the speed of the game increased. The energy of the game increased. To me, it felt almost like a playoff game when it was Green Bay versus Chicago. And I think it had more meaning, even though it's just one win or one loss throughout the course of the season. It had more meaning because I thought the preparation time was different. Obviously, the energy in the stadium was much different. You're up in Lambeau Field or you're at Soldier Field, and you're playing a different team. Like last week, okay, New England versus Chicago. It's going to have a much different energy level this week with Green Bay coming to town. And I've always said look, Spiegs, I'll be honest. I was crushed when the draft – the 2000 draft, because you're always holding out hope that the Bears draft you, right? When they drafted Mike Brown, I was crushed. Now, it was the right pick. I'm not going to say that. They made a great pick in Mike Brown. But I always said when I played for the Packers, this week, back in time, playing against the Bears, for me, it was like playing against your childhood.
See, that's awesome. That's so real. So if you're playing against your childhood, does your focus rev up, or can you be distracted, as some of these guys will be dealing with this weekend?
I think you have to treat it like it. Well, where the Bears are right now, you have to treat every game like a playoff game. But I thought you had to treat that game a little bit differently, knowing that it was going to be played at a faster pace, knowing that the tempo was going to increase based on down and distant game situation, and knowing that you could feed off the crowd. My favorite game, it wasn't even at Soldier Field, when we played the Bears down in Champaign. That was what, the 2002 season.
Is that when you got locked out of the hotel?
Yeah, it was. That was. That was the night I wet my bed and got locked out in the hotel. Yeah, it was a long night. But speaks to your point. That's why I wet my bed, because I was so excited to play in that football game, and you don't really sleep a lot. And the game wasn't until, you know, at night. And unlike playing in Chicago, where you're staying at a gorgeous hotel down on Michigan Avenue, we were staying at some place in Rantoul, Illinois. So it was much different, right? Much different. And then you take a bus from Rantoul over to Champaign. But that energy in Champaign was outstanding. That, to me, felt like a Big Ten environment. And look, you don't get that a lot in college football. I mean, in pro football, that experience of playing like a college-level game with that type of energy, with that type of fan base, that was one of my favorite games ever as a football player at any level.
I don't know if I heard the story about the bed, so I don't want to make Matt relive it, but there is like some 30-pack beer stuff that's going on in the open. So are they related? What the hell happened, Bowen?
So this is what happened. Obviously, that year in Green Bay, I started six games that year, and that was one of the games I started. We had some injuries in the secondary, And so I was starting that game. Obviously, you're playing, like I said, playing your childhood. It's a Monday night football game against the Chicago Bears. What more do you want as a young player in that league, right? And so the night before, I drank a bunch of coffee during meetings. I drank a bunch of Gatorade because I wanted to be hydrated for the football game. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I completely wet my bed. And my roommate on the road was Aaron Campman. And Campman and I obviously played football at Iowa together. So I didn't know what to do. Like, if you're, again, if you're in Michigan Avenue, you just call someone, they fix it for you, right? Because you're a pro football player. But we were in Rantoul, Illinois. So I didn't know what to do. I kind of panicked. I grabbed a towel, put it around me, and then I wrapped up all the sheets and comforter and all that stuff and kind of slung it over my shoulder, right? And I walked out, and I was like, well, I'll just take it down to the laundry and get new stuff. Well, again, this hotel, there was no laundry at 2 or 3 in the morning, whatever it was. So I'm like, I can't let people know I wet my bed. You know, that's the last thing I want is for someone to see me right now. And so I walked out, and I was like, I'm going to throw it in the dumpster in the back. And so I walked outside, and I threw it in the dumpster. I turned around. There was no handle on the door.
Oh!
So now I'm in the parking lot, right? I'm in the parking lot in a towel. So I walk around to the front of the hotel, no shoes on or anything. And there was an older lady working at the desk. And I said, I'm Matt Bowen. I play for the Green Bay Packers. And I got locked out of my room. I don't think she believed me at all. So then I had to call team security. They handled the situation, got me new sheets and new comfort and all that stuff. Oh. And I didn't really make my bed. I just kind of flipped the mattress over because I was done. I took a shower and I woke up the next morning. Cam was like, what happened to your bed? I was like, don't worry about it. So I didn't tell Campman for like 9-10 years after that. I didn't tell anybody. And then I wrote it. I wrote the story for ESPN. It was at the combine. I remember they asked me to write it. I was like, I got nothing to lose. So I wrote it for ESPN. And then before it published, I called Cam. I'm like, you're going to hear this story. I was like, this is what happened that night. So I played okay. I had a pass interference call on a play in the end zone that I wish I could take back. But I played okay. I played good that night. We beat the Bears. That was a game where it started early in the game. Favre rolled to his left. Hit Donald Driver on that deep ball throw down the sideline. We kind of took over the game after that.
You know, it takes a big man to be comfortable with that. So thank you for sharing it again. and seriously, though, there's something to be learned about that, about your comfort in telling the story and being a tough badass on the day-to-day. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Matt.
that was something, man. I mean, it was. I mean, that game in general. yeah. And that was – it's one of my favorite games ever at any level. And look, speaks to your point. It was a game in like October. You know what I mean? It wasn't a game that was going to decide a wild card spot or who won the division. It was a game in November. So, again, obviously it's different for me growing up here in the Chicago area. But if you're that excited about playing that football game, then it means something to you. It just does. Not that playing the Titans or the Patriots does not. I understand that. But these games are just different because of the familiarity. You know the personnel. You know the tendencies they have. And it means more to the fans as well, and you feed off that.
The incredible Matt Bowen joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Matt, before you came on, we were thinking about this, and like Spiegs brought up that he hopes that Thomas Brown spends some time like simplifying things to make it work. And I know that whenever we talk about the even use the term simplifying, that you know it's kind of got a pejorative feel to it. So
it does.
So if you're Thomas Brown and you're looking at this with clear eyes, knowing the people that are involved, what are you hoping you can accomplish this week with this group on offense?
Well, I agree with simplifying. I think the best football teams at any level are simple. They don't get too complex. They put their players in a position where they can play fast and play loose. Okay, because if you can't do that, you're going to struggle, especially in the offensive side of the ball, which is much more structured. You got to remember this. Defensive football is read your keys and play fast and go tackle and go take away the football. Now, it's obviously a little bit more complicated than that, but offense is so much more structured because you need 11 guys to do the same thing every time. So I believe in simplifying it and doing it in ways. I posted it on social earlier this week, kind of like a checklist, so to say, for a new offensive coordinator. The first thing I said was get more numbers in the box for the run game. To get more numbers. Now you can do that in multiple ways, and you can be creative doing that. Obviously, you can add two tight ends. We all know that. Obviously, you can add a fullback if you wanted to. We know that. If you look at some of the great running teams, San Francisco, the LA Rams, how they disguise that, how they motion in a wing or motion in a wide receiver and insert him into the front to get an extra number. get someone to climb to the Mike linebacker to create a running lane for DeAndre Swift. Simple things like that you can do, but you're going to have to do it because that's the first thing I would do. As a new coordinator, I'd find a way to run the football. 100% find a way to run the football, be efficient running the ball, and set up my young quarterbacks. The first thing I would do would be the extra numbers in the run game. The second thing, engineer more wide receiver separation. You're not seeing enough. You're just not. Right now, the Bears run too many routes in a straight line. Okay, do you know what I mean by that? So if you're running in a straight line, it's easier to cover, much easier to cover. If you're running a crossing route in a straight line, much easier to cover. More stems within the routes. More clear and replace concept. Clear and replace, what does that mean? I'm going to run off a safety. I'm going to create a window. I'm going to bring in an in-breaker behind it. It's a defined read for the young quarterback. He can hit the back foot and absolutely hammer the ball to the middle of the field. Are you going to see more man this week? You might. Because last week, New England ran 27 snaps of man coverage against the Bears, the most in the league. Now, Green Bay is not a top 10 team in terms of man percentage, but they might be this week because of what they saw on tape. So what are your man coverage answers? More picks routes, right? Get guys loose. Create immediate separation so the ball comes out quicker. The next one was incorporate more max protection. Again, simple, right? Keep a running back in. Keep a tight end in. I don't care if you only have two guys running a route down the field. I don't care at this point. Because if you can scheme it right, you'll have an opportunity to take a throw down the field, hit the second level, and guess what? Later, your running back will check out. And you always tell your quarterback, guess what? You always have a check down. You always have it. If it's not there, you take the check down underneath. We go on to the next play. The next one I had was have four play-action concepts you really like. Okay, four play-action concepts you really like that marry the exact action you see in the running game. So they both look the same. And have three screens ready off of those same looks. Okay, again, not very complicated. And the last one I had was to run a trick play. And everyone says, oh, you can't run trick plays. Not on Sundays. Well, the Lions do it all the time. Okay, and what it means is as a coordinator or play caller, don't be too proud to run a gadget play. Don't be too proud to get that on tape because now you're going to set yourself up for later in the football game, and it's the next week and the week after that. And that was just a kind of a simple checklist to your point. It can be simple. If you can do that stuff and be efficient and execute it, then you can compete with the Packers on Sunday. You can be in a position late in the football game because you have a good defense to win the game. And that's the point of all this. I've been listening to stuff all week. We all have. We've all had our own opinions on what the Bears are going through with the coaching change, losing three games in a row. That all kind of starts to go away when you win a football game. So that is your number one goal this week. It's not the drama outside or inside Halas Hall. It's what can we do from a coaching perspective to put a very talented roster, which the Bears have, in a position to win this football game. That is our number one priority this week.
That's incredible stuff from Matt Bowen, taking it back to the game and the week, and it fits with the overall stuff because we're not – why weren't they doing this from the beginning of the year? Some kind like it's such a nice way to bring in a rookie quarterback, and your defense is so good. But just last thing, Matt, in 20, 30 seconds, that approach can be married with the new offensive coordinator bump of like having some energy. You can be physical and have an identity with some energy that you have a new guy in a week like this, can't you?
Yeah, and you can be more accountable. That's the number one thing with football. Be more accountable. I think I've said this to you guys before. I'll say it again. The number one thing with the player and coach relationship, okay? Do you trust him? Okay, that's the first thing. Do you trust him? And if you trust your coach and you have respect for your coach, you can do a lot of great things. And that's the number one goal outside of winning this game, is that has to be developed quickly. It has to be done by Sunday.
Matt, you're the best. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Go Bears.
Appreciate you, Matt.
That is Matt Bowen. I kind of want Matt in the room now after that. Jesus.
I want him on the phone with Thomas Brown at the very least.
That was awesome. We're going to talk more about the Bears and why the Bears are acting maybe like another franchise in town. That's next here on The Score.